I tried for many months to find an open door, but the way was closed. Years afterwards, God showed me that he had laid the question on my heart, and until he allowed me to go forth, if I ever did, I was to labour for the world and the perishing heathen just the same as if I were permitted to go among them. End quote. In those years, Dr. Simpson wrote many hymns. One of the hymns he wrote was called, it's number 462 in the old brown book that we used to sing from. It's called A Missionary Cry, and the first verse goes like this: 100,000 souls a day are passing one by one away in Christless guilt and gloom. Without one ray of hope and light, with future dark as endless night, they're passing to their doom. They're passing to their doom. He also wrote that well-known song for us oldies anyway, To the Regions Beyond. I must go, where the message has never been told. That was Dr. Simpson who wrote that great missionary hymn. I wonder if we could just stay seated, but let's read these words from the Bible together on the next slide, Dennis. Could we read together? So then, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can people call on him if they have not believed in him? And how can they believe in him if they have not heard his message? And how can they hear if no one tells the good news? How can people tell the good news if no one sends them? How beautiful are the feet of the messengers who announce the good news. Over 130 years, the Christian and Missionary Alliance has actually been one of the most effective movements in the history of missions. And probably the best known missiologist in the past 100 years is Dr. Donald McGavran. He was a missionary in India, he came back to America, and he founded what has become known in church history as the Church Growth Movement. Dr. McGavran was a great friend of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, and he said this, and I quote, "The Christian and Missionary Alliance is without doubt the leading missionary society of the 20th century." End quote. J. Robertson McQuilkin, who, for those of us who are involved in missions and read a lot, his name is very familiar. Robertson McQuilkin, he was the former president of Columbia International University, which is one of the leading institutions for training missionaries worldwide. He said this about the CMA, quote, "What God has done in this relatively small band of believers seems to me to be unprecedented in the annals of church history." End quote. Now, we read statements like that, and you might be sitting here this morning thinking, I'm just a little person, I can't really have much influence on world missions, but I want to tell you this morning that you are one of God's keys to taking this good news to those who have yet to hear. The motive behind the work of the Christian and Missionary Alliance over all of these years is simply this. It's the reality that lost people matter to God. That was the burden that was on Dr. Simpson's heart. And God now calls us to take that message of salvation to those who have never heard. Simple. We make it very complex. And in terms of, if you like, a theology of Christ as Saviour, the Christian and Missionary Alliance would affirm with all other Bible-believing Christians around the world that Jesus is a universal Saviour. John 3:16, whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. In other words, anyone who comes to him and is repentant in their hearts and says sorry for their sins and believes in him, they will receive his salvation. And maybe you're here this morning and you've never received Christ's salvation. And even though I'm talking about our missionary work this morning, my prayer is that as we share some of these things, that the Holy Spirit would touch your heart. We also believe that Jesus Christ is an exclusive Saviour. Now, this is a very unpopular belief in our pluralistic society, especially when it comes to pluralism to do with religion. Because our society today, we actually make up our own religion. We get a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and we start eating the stuff, and it all piles up, and we end up with our own little religion. It's very neat, and it's very convenient. But the Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, that salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. We are committed to the fact, contrary to contemporary culture, that there are not multiple paths to God. There is only one way to our Heavenly Father, and that's through our Lord Jesus Christ, whose death and resurrection we have remembered this morning. We also believe that He is a comprehensive Saviour. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29 to 30, it makes it clear that salvation is so comprehensive. God actually predestined us. In His mind and heart, He knew who was going to come to Him. And then He provided justification when Jesus died on the cross. And all who come to Him receive His forgiveness. And then, once we come to Him, He wants us to enter into a process that the Bible calls sanctification. It just means reformation. He wants us to become more and more like Jesus. And finally, on that day when either Jesus comes back again or we die and go to Him, go to be with Him, the Bible says we are going to be glorified with Him. What a fantastic salvation. All from the heart and the mind of this loving God. So, the reality is that lost people matter to God. He's not only a universal, exclusive and comprehensive Saviour, He is an all-powerful Saviour. And I had to really stop this week, because I've got a lot of stories I could share with you that I've had the privilege of hearing around the world to show that our God is an all-powerful Saviour. Nothing can separate us from God's love. And in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 to 39, it says, Paul says, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. Nothing. The results of the work of the Christian and Missionary Alliance around the world have been quite startling. Especially when we realise that we're a pretty small little group compared to many other agencies that are operating. If you forget everything else that I say this morning, I want you to remember what I'm going to share now. Because this came from the heart of Dr. Simpson, our founder. Simpson believed that the local church exists to be a local transformation centre with global impact. I want to tell you that's the only reason that I became a pastor back in 1981. I had to go through a long process to be convinced to become a pastor. And some of you know that even along the way, I've had some doubts. It's not easy being a pastor. Some people have said it's the hardest job in the whole world. I'm not sure about that. But when Helen asked me when we were engaged, you know, do you ever think God wants you to be a pastor? I had this vision of a little man in a black suit with a dog collar just burying people and marrying them. And that thought was abhorrent to me. But then we joined the Christian and Missionary Alliance back in 1971, and here was a group of people who loved God, who loved Jesus, who were for the work of the Holy Spirit, who were for taking the gospel to those who'd never heard, and the Holy Spirit did a job on me. And I realised that this is what I wanted to give my life to. And I'll be the first to admit to you that this has been severely tested. And probably the biggest test I've ever had to this challenge has been in the last 2 years. Right here amongst you. But I'm here this morning to tell you that God has got hold of my heart again. And a few months ago I wasn't that excited about being a pastor. But just in these last weeks, God's done something in my heart. And even as I've prepared this message, and been reminded by what God called Helen and me to back in 71 in this CMA. I mean, I don't want you to get the impression we think the CMA is the only church. We don't think that at all. But we just thank God for the privilege that He's given us of serving with this bunch of people around the world. Let's just review some of the things that have happened. By the way, this afternoon at 4 o'clock, Helen and I are going, I'm going to preach at another little Chinese church that meets in the Callum Vale Salvation Army. This little church has just joined the Christian and Missionary Alliance. So we have another CMA church in Brisbane. There's about 50 people, and as we've got to know their leader, a brother by the name of Robert Chua, he was one of the founders of Youth for Christ in Singapore many years ago. Brother Shane is going to speak at their 6th anniversary in a few weeks' time, and I'm going to be the first CMA person to preach. So we're there this afternoon, and I've got a lot of young families. They've led overseas students to Christ, and as we've talked with them, we find that our hearts are very similar. So we're looking forward to pastoring with them. So I'm going to be sharing some of this message with them this afternoon. Let me just share with you some of the hallmarks of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And this is the first one, and this has always encouraged me. The Christian and Missionary Alliance did not form as a split from another denomination. Never. It was actually born out of a revival, a great awakening that happened in North America that actually spawned about 5 great missionary movements, and the CMA was one of them. And Dr. Simpson was the man that God used, and through his life experience of Jesus Christ, the message of the CMA, of Jesus as our Saviour, our Sanctifier, and our Healer, and our coming King, emerged. Simpson was the man that God used, and Simpson worked very closely with other great preachers and leaders of his day, including D.L. Moody, perhaps the most famous Christian evangelist of all time. And he believed with all his heart that lost people mattered to God. A.B. Simpson himself experienced physical healing. He'd been in the ministry for many years, and it wasn't until about his 4th pastorate that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He resigned from a huge church, Presbyterian church. He was the pastor of the most prestigious Presbyterian church in New York City on a very big salary. In those days, it was $5,000 a year, and it was a huge salary. And he came home one day and said to his wife, "I'm resigning because God's put the world on my heart." She was rather fearful. They had 7 children. But in the next few years, he started the Gospel Tabernacle that is still there in New York City today. And he began orphanages, soup kitchens, healing homes, hospices for unwed mothers, rescue missions, refuges for prostitutes, alcoholics, and he even started ethnic language classes. This was Dr. Simpson. So we have a heritage of combining gospel preaching and evangelism with social outreach. And Simpson was a man who didn't want to build walls. So many churches build walls, especially with theology. He didn't want to build walls, he wanted to build bridges. And that's exactly what he did in New York City. And so people from many different denominations gathered together, and that's why it's called the Alliance. It was an alliance of Christians to take the gospel to the world. I wonder how we would honour that heritage. As members of a Christian and Missionary Alliance church here in Brisbane in 2011, I mean, these are turbulent times in which we're living. Thank God for the wedding. We got a bit of good news the last 24 hours, but otherwise the news has been pretty shocking, hasn't it? The floods, the tsunami, the nuclear stuff. Afghanistan is just like a chronic sore. And now Libya. I mean, who knows where all this is going to lead? The threat of terrorist attacks is actually quite high. And we've just come through the global financial crisis. I mean, I've been looking at the reality in America. Homes across that great nation have devalued by, what, 25%. So those of us who, you know, are living in prosperous Brisbane and our homes have been increasing in value all these years, I always used to say to people, it can't keep happening. It has to stop at some point in time. It's just like the stock market. But people have lost their homes in America. And here in Australia, many, my neighbour is one of them. His superannuation has been severely dealt with. Let's put it that way. And many, and some in this room, have probably suffered that way. Nevertheless, I'm fascinated as I study Alliance history that in the most turbulent and challenging times, this movement kept growing. And even today, the same thing is happening. During the global financial crisis, for the first time in history, the Alliance in US, their annual budget was oversubscribed by $2 million during the worst days of the financial crisis. Let's go to the next slide. Should be a picture there of Africa. Back in 1929, the CMA planted the first churches in Côte d'Ivoire. Now, you've been hearing about the Ivory Coast in the news these last few months. But probably what you don't know is that in Côte d'Ivoire today, there are 2,200 CMA churches with a membership of 300,000 people, all since 1930. We move on to the next slide. The first missionaries to go to Laos arrived in 1929. And God called the Hmong people to himself in Laos en masse. Whole villages came to know Jesus. At least the village head put his hand up and said, I want to follow Jesus. And then, of course, everybody followed the village head. And then for the next 20 years, the missionaries had a big discipleship job on their hands. And friends, that is exactly what's happening at Southside International Church right now. You've had the privilege of listening to Johnny and Sal over the Easter period. There are many others who've come to Christ. I'm sure Brother Sal, who's listening up there, won't mind me telling you, but I know that in his connection, his web of influence, there are a lot of people who've been watching him, and they've actually said, when you become a Christian, we are going to follow. So we need to be praying, because I really believe between now and Christmas, we're going to see many of our Hmong friends coming to know Jesus. And this will put a big responsibility on us. So there's the baptism of our brother Johnny there a few months ago. You may not be aware that the Hmong district of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, there are 27 districts of the CMA in America. Most of them are state, but then many of them are ethnic. So we have about 13 different ethnic districts. The Hmong district is the largest district in the CMA of North America. One of the churches in Minnesota has about 5,000 members. In 1921, next slide, this man, Dr. Robert Jaffray, whose father owned the Toronto Globe. He could have been a multimillionaire, but he left it all and went as a missionary to China. He was 50 years of age. He had diabetes, he had a heart condition, he was so weak he used to lie in bed and they had strings all attached holding up the book because he was so weak he couldn't even turn the pages of the book. And God spoke to him and said, I want you to leave China and go down to Indochina and start the work. So he wrote to the mission heads in New York and they said, you're crazy, you can't go. So what did Robert Jaffray do? He climbed out of bed. And he came down through Vietnam, he came to Laos, to Cambodia, the whole of Indochina, and in 1921 he landed in Bali. And he actually took a bus across the island, and a Hindu priest said, you'll never do anything here. And I was in Bali just a few months ago, and there are 64 CMA churches on the island of Bali today. And in Indonesia, the great Kema Injil Church, there are 2,500 churches with 500,000 members. All because one man in his weakness obeyed the call of God. During World War II, you may not know this, and I didn't even know this until I did this research this week. During World War II, the Christian and Missionary Alliance sent out 250 new missionaries. In fact, they did that in 1942, in 1 year. That's astounding. So what I'm saying is, in the most turbulent times, when things look really dark from a human perspective, God is still at work. That encourages me. A few years ago, they had, probably just 10 years ago, I think it was the 40th anniversary of the ultimate sacrifice in Vietnam of Bob Zeemer, Ed and Ruth Thompson, Ruth Whitling, Betty Olson, Carolyn Griswold, and her father Leon, who all died during the Tet Offensive. Already before that, three men, Dr. Archie Mitchell, Adele Vieta, and Dan Gerber, disappeared from the Bunmituit Leprosarium. If any of you remember Joan and Bruce Downs, who were here a couple of years ago, Joan was a missionary in that leprosarium when these guys disappeared. So we can't forget that there's an incredible sacrifice that has taken place by Alliance missionaries. There are many, I think something like 27 missionary graves in Vietnam. In 1975, when Vietnam fell to the communists, there were estimated to be 127,000 church members in probably 550 churches across Vietnam. Today, it's the largest Alliance church in the world with 1.2 million members. Just like the book of Acts, when the church was persecuted, it grew. And so the same thing happened in Vietnam. One more slide. That's the Vietnamese delegation, the president of the North and South Vietnamese church just in July last year when I was up in Bali. Next slide. Before I do that, give me one more statistic. Did you know that of all the missionaries in the world, 1% of them are working in the 10-40 window? 10 degrees, 40 degrees latitude. That takes in like from Africa, North Africa, right through India, Central Asia, right across Russia. That period, that part of the world, only 1% of the whole missionary force in the world are working in that area. 10 years ago, the CMA decided we're going to target that area. I got the latest statistic yesterday from the office in Colorado Springs. Today, 49.8% of Alliance missionaries are working in the 10-40 window. Many of them, they can't even tell you their names or where they're working, because many of them are in what we call creative access countries. So God is still using the CMA. In 1983, Helen and I had the privilege of leading a group of people on a mission tour across Southeast Asia, and we went, amongst other places, to Bangkok. We stayed at the Alliance Guest House, and of course, being very raw and uneducated Australians, it was a shock to us to discover that at the gate of most of the places was a guard with a gun. That was new for us. And so the guard at that time, his name was Pichai, and he was a Buddhist. And he didn't like Christians. But over the next couple of decades, all the visitors that came to the guest house met Pichai, and the guys that run the guest house, the Strongs, kept telling these visitors, pray for Pichai. So he didn't know, but people all around the world were praying for him. He had a real problem. He was an alcoholic, but he was the guard, he was the driver, and he ran errands for the guest house. 2 years ago, Steve Strong, my good friend who runs the guest house with his wife Carol, told me that Pichai had come to him and said, Steve, yesterday I took my idol to the maintenance room at the back of the house, at the back of the guest house. And I set my idol up on a bench and I said, idol, I am not going to talk to you anymore. You are not my God anymore. Jesus is my God. And I'm not going to talk to you anymore. And he said, I gave my idol to the maintenance guy and told him, get rid of it. And a few weeks later, just a couple of years ago, Steve had the joy of baptizing Pichai in the ocean. idols, with the demons behind them, are still holding millions this morning in spiritual slavery, but Jesus said that he came to set the captives free. I've got too many stories. Let me quote Simpson once more. The calling of the Alliance is very clear. It is not a great movement in the sense of having great leaders or a great constituency. But it surely has a great message and a great mission. Its message is Christ in his fullness, or has been well expressed, a whole Christ for a whole man for the whole world. And its message is to help our brethren to enter into this land of promise, and with them to give the gospel as a witness to the entire world to hasten the coming of our Master. Brothers and sisters, could we read that passage of Scripture again as we close this morning? Let's stand and let's read this together. And as we read, let's just open our hearts to the Holy Spirit. I made a claim at the beginning of the message that you may feel small, but you are a key to taking the gospel to the whole world. It doesn't mean necessarily that you will go, but we at this church, we are so involved in missions, and we send out short-term teams. We've got, yesterday I had a long conversation on the telephone with Michelle Kim, who is really suffering in Myanmar. She is really feeling very frustrated because the spices in the food are causing her to vomit. She's got diarrhea all the time. We need to be praying for her every day, upholding our precious Michelle before the Lord. So God calls us to pray. God calls us to give. I am so proud of you over the 10 years that I've been here. The generosity that you have expressed financially to support the missionary cause is quite astounding. So keep it up. But just ask God this morning, individually, how can I be involved to take this good news message to those who have yet to hear? Let's read God's word once more. So then, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can people call on him if they have not believed in him? How can they believe in him if they have not heard his message? How can they hear if no one tells the good news? How can people tell the good news if no one sends them? As Scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who announce good news. Just have a look at your feet this morning. Okay. Whether you like it or not, whether you've got bunions or whatever, you've got beautiful feet if you are involved in God's missionary program. And it's not just the feet taking you there, but if you're praying, if you're giving, if you're writing support, encouraging emails to your missionaries, you've got beautiful feet. We're not going to sing, we're just going to pray. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've called us to yourself. We are so privileged. This morning we say, hallelujah, our sins have been forgiven. Thank you, Jesus. But Lord, you've given us a message that many are yet to hear. And I pray today that your Spirit will speak to each one of us and just show us, Lord, how we can be part of this great band of people around the world that you've called to take the good news to those who have never heard. Help us to respond to whatever you're saying to us today, and we pray in Jesus' name. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship and friendship and comfort of the Holy Spirit be with us until we either see your face or you come again. And we pray in your mighty name, Triune God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Let's stay for a cuppa.